Palm Sunday is kind of a unique celebration, a unique festival. It begins with all of these shouts of praise and Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. But as the service continues, the mood of the whole service really changes. The people who shouted Hosanna to our King, the shout changes to crucify, a message of condemnation. The palm branches, they turn into spears, instruments of execution. Doesn't make sense. How in one breath could the people praise their king and then later turn around and turn against him and cry out to kill him? When Jesus goes into Jerusalem, many people think that he's going to overturn the government. And what you need for that is wealth, you need power, you need honor, you need the people to be behind you. Most people thought that that is exactly what Jesus was going to do. But this is what's interesting. Jesus' glory is his death. In John's gospel, he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." When we think of glory, we think of prestige. We think of power. We think of someone that's in the spotlight, someone that's going to make a difference and change things politically. But what Jesus was talking about when he talked about his glory was his death, his crucifixion. The world, when they think of glory, they think of wealth, they think of pleasure, they think of power, they think of honor. This is the way of the world. If you want to glorify yourself, you point to yourself, you exalt yourself, it's because you are a person of influence, because you have a lot of money, because you have a lot of money, you have a lot of power. Maybe you indulge in a lot of pleasure and you have power. But this is not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is completely different. It goes against the grain of the world. Instead of wealth or pleasure or power or honor, Jesus humbles himself. And it's in the process of his great humility that his glory is found. And the people don't understand that. Even the disciples didn't understand that. Many of them fled. They didn't understand what was going on. But it was in suffering that he brought life. It was laying down his life with great pain that he gives us hope. Paul is writing to the church while in prison. In our second reading this morning, he's writing to the church of Philippi. And he's saying to them, have the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, they were probably familiar with what he was writing because it wasn't necessarily his words. What he says to them, most scholars believe, was a hymn. Let this mind be also in you that was in Christ Jesus, who was God, but did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, and dying, even death on the cross. First comes humiliation, and then later comes the exaltation. This is the glory of Christ. It was St. Thomas Aquinas that said something that caught my attention a few weeks ago, and he said this: if you truly want to be happy in life, despise the things that Jesus Christ despised on the cross, and love the things that he loved. Now, you can go into any Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, and you can see volumes and volumes and volumes of books on how to be happy. How to be wealthy, how to meet your goals, how to be in a good mood so that everything is working according to plan. There's so many how-to books on how to be happy. But St. Thomas Aquinas says something that probably wouldn't sell too many people. He says, if you really, truly want to be happy, despise the things that Jesus despised on the cross. Wealth. Jesus did not have any wealth. They took everything from him, and he didn't have a lot to begin with, but they took his very clothes, and he was nailed on the cross completely naked. He had no wealth. He despised wealth. Another word for that is he was detached from wealth. Pleasure. What pleasure was to him being there? cross between two thieves. He had no pleasure. Ultimate suffering. If you think you have suffered in your life, stare at a crucifix and remember what our Lord went through in his suffering, physically and probably also in his spirit. He despised pleasure. He had no pleasure. He was detached from pleasure. He wasn't seeking pleasure. Honor. The Roman guards, the people standing around, jeered at him, ridiculed him. They said, even one of the thieves on the cross, if you're really the Messiah, why can't you come down and save us and save yourself? Power. Here is the king of the universe. He could have called down legions of angels to rescue him, but he didn't. He did not execute his will. He didn't run after wealth, didn't run after pleasure, didn't run after honor, didn't run after power. Instead, he did the opposite. He ran away from the world and all that it offers. There's nothing in this world that will make you happy. You can have all the wealth in the world, it'll never be enough. Because you're always looking for something more. Because you're wired for God. You could seek pleasure, go on trips, do this, do that, have fun. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But it will ultimately not satisfy you completely, because once you have it, you're going to be looking for the next thing, the next adventure. Honor. People could pat you on the back. You did a great job, great sermon, great Bible study, great this, great that. Oh, everything went well. But it will never be enough, because you'll be seeking for the next piece of advice or honor for someone else. And power, it always leaves us empty-handed. I was watching a video the other day on YouTube about very, 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 very famous people. People who have a lot of money, a lot of expensive cars, a lot of homes, a lot of wealth, and a lot of prestige, and a lot of fame. And they went on to say, you know what? All of these things leave you empty. Because we're wired for God. And once we get hooked to think that true satisfaction will be found in wealth or pleasure or honor or power, then we'll never be happy. St. Thomas Aquinas said, despise the things that Jesus despised and love the things that he loved. What did he love? He loved doing the will of God. And so as we enter this Passion Week, our focus is Christ and his passion, but not just something that he did for us. He also calls us to follow in his footsteps. In the church of Philippi, St. Paul is writing the church not because there's a lot of things going wrong. There is not a lot of things going wrong, but there's a little bit of conflict, not a lot of conflict. There's conflict between two women in the church. That's about it. Not much. And so he presents before them Christ, and he says, have this mind, which was also in Christ. Because when you have that mindset, conflict seems to disappear. And before he mentions this great hymn, he introduces it with these words. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord with one mind. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Amen.